I guess, comets and different objects in space flinging our way, namely Comet Ison and some of these others. Now, you believe that could be the result of what?
Well, there's a large dwarf star, brown, what scientists and astronomers have determined is probably a brown dwarf star. It was discovered by NASA scientists and astronomers, astrophysicists and astronomers some over 30 years ago, back in 1983. Even before that, NASA and other observatories in other countries knew that there was some kind of object out there, because there was some great gravitational force being exerted upon the outer planets. And this gravitational force was pulling two of the outer planets, Neptune and Uranus, out of their orbits at one particular point in their very large orbital path. And they knew that this, what they call, what is in astronomy called a perturbation, these perturbations could only be caused by some gravitational force pulling out on these planets in their orbital travel. So that's how they knew, just by mathematical calculations of the gravitational forces, that there were some huge body out there. And this has been known, even going back to the early 1800s. So we're talking about almost 200 years this gravitational pull has been detected by astronomers.
I just want to say, so they've known about this object since the late 1800s, you said?
Yes. In fact, wow. I have in front of me a very important landmark article from the New York Times, January 30th, 1983. This is over, going on 31 years ago, and I photocopied it, so I have the exact photocopy of the article, not a transcript. I have proof that this exists. In fact, I have circulated this JPEG version of this particular New York Times article to many people on the internet, and you probably have a copy already. But this is what it says. New York Times, Sunday, January 30th, 1983. Three. Title: Clues Get Warm in the Search for Planet X, by John Noble Wilford. Quote: Something out there beyond the farthest reaches of the known solar system seems to be tugging at Uranus and Neptune. Some gravitational force keeps perturbing the two giant planets, causing irregularities in their orbits. The force suggests a presence far away and unseen, a large object that may be the long-sought planet X. Evidence assembled in recent years has led several groups of astronomers to renew the search for the 10th planet. They are devoting more time to visual observations with a 200-inch telescope at Mount Palomar, California. They are tracking two Pioneer spacecraft, now approaching the orbit of distant Pluto, to see if variations in the spacecraft's trajectories would provide clues to the source of this mysterious force. And they are hoping that a satellite-borne telescope launched last week will detect heat signatures from this planet, or whatever it is out there. This is called the Infrared Astronomical Satellite, and it was boosted into a 560-mile-high polar orbit Tuesday night. We're talking about 1983 now. Tuesday night from Vandenberg Air Force Base, California. It represents an $80 million venture by the United States, Britain, and the Netherlands. In the next 6 or 7 months, this telescope is expected to conduct a wide-ranging survey of nearly all the sky, detecting sources not of ordinary light. but of infrared radiation, which is invisible to the human eye and largely absorbed by the atmosphere. Scientists thus hope that the new telescope will chart thousands of infrared-emitting objects that have gone undetected: stars, interstellar clouds, asteroids, and with any luck, will detect that object that pulls at Uranus and Neptune. The last time a serious search of the skies was made, it led to the discovery in 1930 of Pluto, the ninth planet. But the story begins more than a century before that, after the discovery of Uranus in 1781 by the English astronomer and musician William Herschel. Until then, the planetary system seemed to end with Saturn, as astronomers observed Uranus, noting irregularities in its orbital path. Many speculated that they were witnessing the gravitational pull of an unknown planet. So began the first planetary search based on astronomers' predictions, which ended in the 1840s with the discovery of Neptune, almost simultaneously by English, French, and German astronomers. But Neptune was not massive enough to account entirely for the orbital behavior of Uranus. Indeed, Neptune itself seemed to be affected by a still more remote planet. In the late 19th century, two American astronomers, William Pickering and Christopher Lowell, predicted the size and approximate location of this trans-Neptunian body, which Lowell called Planet X. Years later, Pluto was detected by Clyde Tombaugh, working at Lowell Observatory in Arizona. And it goes on, I'll just skip a little bit here. Of course, Pluto is very small and does not have nearly enough mass to create that kind of gravitational pull on the outer planets. Anyway, recent calculations by the United States Naval Observatory have confirmed the orbital perturbation exhibited by Uranus and Neptune, which Dr. Thomas C. Van Flander, an astronomer at the observatory, says could be explained by, quote, a single undiscovered planet, unquote. He and a colleague, Dr. Robert Harrington, calculate that this 10th planet should be 2 to 5 times more massive than Earth and have a highly elliptical orbit that takes it some 5 billion miles beyond that of Pluto, hardly next door, but still within the gravitational influence of the Sun. Just a couple of my comments here. They stated that, Dr. Harrington and Dr. Van Flander stated that this unknown object is calculated to be about 2 to 5 times more massive than Earth. Well, they were probably trying to downplay the size of this object in order to not to panic the public, because we know from what they're about to tell us a little further on in this article, they're telling us they believe it is a brown dwarf star. And the smallest brown dwarf star that would classify in that mass category within the mass of a brown dwarf star, the smallest would be about 3 times the mass of Jupiter. It would be 3 Jupiters. Now, Jupiter is known to be 318 Earth masses. That's what Jupiter is. Is equivalent to the mass of 318 Earths combined. So, this object, if it's the smallest classified object that can be classified as a brown dwarf star, as the scientists are about to tell us in this article, well, it must be 3 times Jupiter's mass, or 3 times 318 Earths, which puts it pretty close to 1,000 Earth masses. So Dr. Harrington and Dr. Van Flander were saying it's 2 to 5 times more massive than Earth, when later on they go to tell us in an indirect way and it's actually probably at least 1,000 times more massive than Earth. And of course, we know that mass, it creates the gravitational force. The greater the mass of an object, the greater its gravitational pull. So naturally, you can understand why an object that large would be able to pull the giant gas planets, Uranus and Neptune, slightly out of their orbits at a particular point in their orbital travel. Continuing on in this article.
Okay.
According to Dr. Ray T. Reynolds of the Ames Research Center in Mountain View, California, other astronomers are so sure of this 10th planet, this is their quote, their words now, they are so sure about the existence of this 10th planet that they think there's nothing left but to name it, unquote. So they've done their calculations and there's no doubt that it's out there pulling on the outer planets. At a scientific meeting last summer, 10th planet partisans tended to prevail. So most of the scientists tend to agree that there was a 10th planet out there. And they were speculating on what it might be.
Right. But what I wonder now is, this thing is so huge, and I know people have explained to me that because of the positioning of where it is why we're unable to see it. But I would say there's got to be some way to see this thing.
There is. Our government, with its observatories, has definitely seen it. The problem is it's not visible to the naked, to the human eye, because it only emits infrared light. So you would need an infrared telescope to see it. And also, it's at a point. Well, that's one reason. Keep that in mind. You need infrared eyes to see it, which our government has and uses to view this object. However, there's another problem, another deterrent to viewing this object, and that is you have to be way down in the south, near the South Pole, in order to see it, and only during a couple months of the year when Earth is in a particular point in Earth's annual revolution around the sun can it be seen. So we cannot see it from the northern hemisphere, because I like to use the analogy of a big, really fat man standing upright and trying to view beneath the soles of his shoes while he's standing straight up. It's impossible because his belly is blocking his view. He'd have to have eyes down near his feet in order to see below his feet. And that would be the South Pole. South Pole would be analogous to the soles of his feet. The North Pole would be analogous to the top of his head. So they've had astronomers that have gone down into the southern hemisphere of the planet Earth and viewed this object at the right times. Dr. Harrington, who's mentioned in this article, is one of those scientists. He spent a good part of his career absolutely dedicated, obsessed with finding this Planet X. He has written papers, and you can get some of his papers on the internet. If you type in, let's see, the search for Planet X, you might be able to find it. His name is Harrington, Harrington. And in it, he's done extensive computer calculations to determine where it was at, until he got to the point where he needed to finally go down there, go down to the southern hemisphere, and specifically to the Black Birch Observatory in New Zealand with a special telescope.